Meditations and Parables. Chapter 4 Hope. Section 1. Hope. Verse 1. Having hope means that even if you are afflicted from all sides, you will not be crushed. Perplexed but not pulled down to lazy despair. Persecuted, but without feeling forsaken. Struck down, but still holding fast to the triple path. Verse 2. Labor with hope to make the world better first by focusing on improving yourself, then your family, and then your community. Verse 3. Let this be your constant goal, that in every situation, things are better because you are there, that your influence and actions are always a force for improving yourself, your circumstances, your family and those around you, and the whole human race. Verse 4. Find the potential for improvement in every situation, and then work to make that potential reality. Verse 5. Seek a world in which those who work against you wake up and see the light, so that they might accept the good you are laboring to manifest, and let it encompass them too. Verse 6. Be not an idealist with ceaseless optimism that blinds you to the negative, but also neither be a scornful cynic overwhelmed into inaction, or worse still, into chaotic destruction, by your despair and disillusionment. Instead, be a hopeful realist who recognizes the good and bad in every situation, and then does your best to make things better. Verse 7. Hope is an anchor to your heart, making you sure and steadfast, always striving for improvement, abounding in virtue, and growing in wisdom. Verse 8. Praise hope. Verse 9. Laboring with hope means avoiding a focus on that which is exterior to you, and instead focusing on that which is under your control. When you labor with hope, you do not presume to force a certain future, or even to know what the future brings. Instead, you give yourself over to the adventure of life, even though it may bring much suffering to you. You trust in God come what may, always seeking to move forward on the triple path. Verse 10. What good is it if you say you have hope, but you do not have wisdom and virtue? Is hope enough? No. You need all three. You cannot really labor with hope without also seeking wisdom and practicing virtue. Section 2. Discontent. Verse 1. Be not discontented by life. Verse 2. Set your house in order before you criticize the world. Verse 3. When you feel discontent, return firmly to the triple path. With what are you discontented? With the evil of others. Remember that we are all imperfect. Cease your idle laments about the evil in the world. Instead, fight against it and show others the triple path. Verse 4. Whether you live a life of wisdom, virtue, and hope, or whether you live a life of foolishness, evil, and lazy despair, you still will be buried, reduced to dust, and be quiet at last. Before that happens, how much better to work to increase the wisdom, virtue, and hope in the world, rather than idly lamenting the foolishness, evil, and lazy despair already here. Verse 5. No matter what events befall you, make right use of them to do well, to draw closer to God, and to seek wisdom, practice virtue, and labor with hope. Verse 6. A dark night of the soul usually comes during a serious spiritual quest, when things fall apart and hopelessness, despair, and black nihilism beckon to you. But cease not your quest and still press forward, for after the dark night comes the glorious sunrise. Section 3. Sacrifice. Verse 1. Stand in awe and stillness and sin not. Make right sacrifices and put your trust in God, offering a humble heart before Him. Verse 2. You come into life with an ethical burden to justify your own existence. The purpose of life is not to maximize your ratio of personal happiness or pleasure to suffering. The purpose of a wise and virtuous life is to take on honorable, worthwhile challenges and to sacrifice to overcome them. Such challenges, voluntarily undertaken, mold and shape you. They bring nobility of soul and allow you to accomplish great things. Verse 3. It is far better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Verse 4. Sacrifice now to reduce future pain and suffering. Verse 5. Regulate, control, and order your impulses of the moment so that your current self does not trammel your future selves and set your soul on a path to destruction. Verse 6. Sacrifice for a better tomorrow. Work today so that tomorrow improves. Give up that which is of value right now to attain something better in the future. Delay gratification in the moment to achieve greatness in times to come. Pleasure forestalled can bring great rewards later. Verse 7. The best among us delay gratification, bargaining with the future. They sacrifice, and their sacrifices get better and more efficacious as they practice them. Verse 8. Not all sacrifices are of equal quality or value. Figure out which are the proper ones to make, and then make them. Verse 9. Small sacrifices will often solve small problems, but expect that it may take big, encompassing sacrifices to solve large, complex problems. Verse 10. What would be the best, most encompassing, most effective, most pleasing to God, of all possible sacrifices you might make? How much better might the possible future be, if you made it? Verse 11. It is possible to make wicked sacrifices as well as righteous ones. Such sacrifices are abominations. Do you offer polluted sacrifices? Why you would treat God as contemptible? Verse 12. Sometimes, apparently correct sacrifices of high quality are not rewarded, and the reason for the failure is not clear. Understanding why is a difficult question to answer. Sometimes there is no answer. Even so, still sacrifice. Verse 13. Sometimes things fail to go well not because of the world, but because of you. The world you perceive is to a large extent discerned through the lens of your values. If your world is not what you want, examine what you value most. Sacrifice that which you have overvalued. Let go of your current presuppositions. Perhaps you must sacrifice that which you had loved most, so that instead you can value above all God and wisdom, virtue and hope. Thus, you can set yourself on the path to reaching the full potential of whom you might become, rather than staying who you are, self-confined in an undesirable world. Verse 14. The stories of our God tell us that He requires sacrifice, often demanding not just any sacrifice, but exactly what we think we love most. Verse 15. Do not sacrifice that which is expedient, but that which must be sacrificed. Verse 16. Lift up your eyes to God. Aim your sacrifices at attaining His highest wisdom, His encompassing virtue, and His relentless hope. Verse 17. You are not committed to something unless you are willing to sacrifice for it. Verse 18. Seek to build a society where sacrifice is rewarded. Cleave to those who believe likewise. Verse 19. Make sacrifices of thanksgiving. Verse 20. Sacrifice who you are right now for the person you might become in the future, who is beckoning to you. Verse 21. Remember the parable of the child and the cupcake. Section 4. Patience. Verse 1. Be patient in suffering. Endure your afflictions patiently, even if you have many and suffer abuse, beating, or punishment, but exercise your patience with power and self-control, never with weakness. Be patient but not passive. Persevere to resolve your problems, conquer your troubles, and escape your hardships. Verse 2. Be patient with others' flaws. Encourage the fearful, help the weak, offer support to those who are struggling to follow the triple path. Remember that you yourself were once foolish and lacking in virtue. Be honest with yourself and remember that you are still so now. Verse 3. Toward the anger of others, first respond with calmness and patience. Calmness will pacify numerous great offenses and soothe many explosive situations. Verse 4. Possess your soul in patience. When you are out of patience, you are out of possession of your soul. Section 5. Proper focus. Verse 1. Pay attention. Be on your guard. Know your opportunity and your peril. Verse 2. Recognize and harness fortune when it comes, but do not trust that it will come, neither trust in it if it does. Verse 3. A fool worries about what cannot be changed and ignores those things that can be improved. Verse 4. Stand tall and take responsibility for your life. Voluntarily accept the burden of being and face the terrible demands of life. Sacrifice whatever it takes to live with meaning. Defend and expand the territory of your life, transforming it into something better, something more wonderful. Verse 5. Pay attention to the whisperings of your conscience. What problems in the world stand out to you, bother you? This may be destiny or God calling out to you, showing to you the dragons you must confront. You can develop the vision and the fortitude to confront the dragons, but you must first notice them, and then take responsibility for fighting them. Verse 6. Focus on your physical and spiritual surroundings. Prayerfully ask, "What is bothering me?" Next, ask, "Could I fix it? Would I be willing to fix it?" If you cannot answer yes to these questions, search again. Aim lower until you find something that bothers you and that you could and would fix. Fix it. Then start again. Verse 7. Some things are under your control. Others are not. If you think to be under your control that which is not, you will be burdened and in turmoil, grieving, blaming both God and men. If you learn to correctly distinguish between what is under your control and what is not, you will not find fault with God or men. Take therefore this step toward peace. If it be a thing not under your control, have ready at hand your answer, "It is nothing to me." Verse 8. The things in your life are of two kinds, things that depend on the will of others and things that do not. If you value that which depends on the will of others, outward things, then you will be easily harmed, unjust, prone to claim more than your due, with a mean and abject spirit, impious, falsely deeming yourself injured at the hands of God. And you will be hindered and restrained, the slave of those with power over the things you desire and fear. Whereas if you only value that which depends on no one else's will, then you will be unharmed, just, noble-hearted, pious, maintaining proper gratitude to God, and free. Verse 9. You can eliminate many useless things that bother you. This is because they are caused by your own opinions and attitudes. Let go of your concern about things outside your control. Instead, focus on what is in your power to change. Focus on your own thoughts and actions, and on following God and the triple path. Verse 10. Adapt yourself to the things with which your lot has been cast. And with respect to those individuals among whom you have received your portion, love them, truly and sincerely. Verse 11. Learn to channel and control your thoughts, speech, actions, and desires toward following God and the triple path. Verse 12. The promise of your desires is to attain what you desire. The promise of aversion is to not fall into what you seek to avoid. When you fail in your desire, you feel merely disappointed. When you fall into what you want to avoid, you feel miserable. If then you confine your aversion only to foolishness, evil, and lazy despair, that which is contrary to the right use of your own faculties and that which you have in your own control, you will avoid much misery. Withdraw therefore your aversion from all the matters that are not under your control. Transfer it to what is contrary to the right use of that which is under your control. Verse 13. Do not take lightly the decisions you make. Your choices, for good or evil, determine the contours of your life. And the aggregate of every human life shapes the landscape of mankind's present and future. Verse 14. How have you improved your time, which is short and uncertain? Section 6. Perseverance. Verse 1. Finish the race without shrinking back. Verse 2. What a brief space of time is your existence. What matters and opportunities for action have you been avoiding? Verse 3. Rouse yourself and correct your mistakes. Trust in God and follow the triple path, for only these have the power to stir you and shake off your deep slumber. Verse 4. Watch yourself at all times. Be industrious and diligent in all things. Meditate, pray, and focus your actions always on seeking greater wisdom, practicing better virtue, and laboring more with hope, so that you do not fall away from the triple path. Verse 5. No matter your circumstance, seek wisdom, practice virtue, and labor with hope. Verse 6. It is not enough just to start on the triple path, you must also endure to the end. Verse 7. As long as you live, keep learning how to live. Verse 8. Suppose a man should stand by a limpid pure spring and curse it. Even so, the spring never ceases sending up potable water. And if that man should cast clay into it, or filth, the spring speedily will disperse them and wash them out, and will not stay polluted. Within you is a well of goodness. Never stop digging, so that divine water has a clear way to bubble up in your soul. And it is in your power to cause that water to overflow into a clean, perpetually flowing spring, undisturbed by the cursing and muddying of others. How do you cause this? By unyieldingly seeking wisdom, practicing virtue, and laboring with hope. Verse 9. Weary not in well-doing, for in due season you will reap the consequences, if you faint not. Verse 10. Weary not in well-doing, even if you only have opportunities to do small things. Out of small things proceed that which is great. Verse 11. Be both tranquil and active at the same time, and also cheerful and collected. What need is there of suspicious fear, since it is in your power to inquire what ought to be done? And if you see clear, go by this way content, without turning back. But if you do not see clear, stop and take the best advisers. But if any other things oppose you, go on according to your powers with due consideration, keeping to that which appears to be wise and virtuous. For it is best to reach this object, and if you fail, let your failure be in attempting this. Verse 12. Laboring with hope does not mean maintaining an unwavering belief that things will always improve, but being determined to never stop working to make things better. Verse 13. Laboring with hope does not mean never feeling discouraged or disappointed. It means continuing to work to make things better, even when you are discouraged and disappointed. Verse 14. Your life is like a temple of spirit you are building up or tearing down, until your last day. Thus, for every obstacle you come upon along your path through life, take it and remake it into your own spiritual building material, further enlarging and beautifying the spiritual temple of your life. Verse 15. Seek to spend each day so that at its end you may say, I have lived well. I have sought wisdom, practiced virtue, and labored with hope. Spend each day so that you are able to await the next in possession of yourself and without fear. Verse 16. When confronted by something difficult you are called to do, do not think, this is impossible, but instead think, if anything is possible for another to achieve, then I too will do my utmost to achieve it. Verse 17. Being preceded and surrounded by so great a brightness of validating tradition and experience, cast away the sin that distracts you and clings so closely, lay aside every weight that slows you down, and run with patience the race set before you. Verse 18. Many of the good things in the world you enjoy are here because those who came before built them and left them for you. Everything you build, and the ruins of everything you destroy, you will leave for those who come after you. They will be just as deserving as you were of the good things you received from those who came before. Toil and strain to make the world better, as those who came before who did for you. Verse 19. Plant trees that are slow to grow, but bring shade to cheer your grandchildren in the far-off years. A society thrives when old men plant trees whose shade they know they will never sit in. Verse 20. With the wealth of wisdom you have inherited from your predecessors, play the part of a careful steward, increasing that which you have inherited. Let there be no more dark ages. Pass this inheritance on to your descendants larger than when you received it. Much still remains to do, and much will always remain. Those born 1,000 ages hence will still have the opportunity of adding something further. Verse 21. Remember the parable of the cathedral. Section 7. Balance. Verse 1. Illumination comes neither from asceticism nor debauchery, but from the balance of the golden mean. It comes neither from renouncing the world nor embracing it as it is, but from living and working within it to make it better. It comes neither from celibacy nor from promiscuity, but from monogamy and creating and nurturing and sustaining a family. It comes neither from shutting yourself off from physical desires and ambitions, nor from uncritically indulging them, but from channeling them to good and virtuous ends. Verse 2. Be an example of balance and a force for good. Start a family. Nurture and love your children and spouse. Build up and contribute to your community. Show love to others and teach wisdom, virtue, and hope. Verse 3. Remember the parable of Icarus. Section 8. The Great Now. Verse 1. Live in the present, foreseeing the future and seeking divine forethought. Verse 2. This is the day in which God has placed you. Rejoice and be glad in it. Verse 3. No matter how much things improve or degenerate, you will always have troubles. Your troubles of the moment are yours to solve in the moment. Verse 4. Do not pine for some great far-off future perfect utopia. A great hoped-for future will not come by waiting for it. Live in the great now, not in your dreams for the future. Work to make your hoped-for future a reality in the present. Verse 5. Think of your existence as being stretched across time, with your potential future self manifested in the present as your conscience and intuition. What you could be in the future beckons to you in the present. Verse 6. Instead of criticizing the past, concentrate on what you can do in the present to build up a great future. Verse 7. Do not sell your future for your transitory desires in the present. Verse 8. Can something that has not yet happened be preordained? Verse 9. How much have evils that never happened cost you? Verse 10. Do not waste your time unnecessarily worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Verse 11. Every day, align your soul with God and with wisdom, virtue, and hope, and prayerfully ask, what can I do today to live with meaning to make life a little better? Then attend to the day while aiming at the highest good. Verse 12. Today, do the most good possible. When tomorrow arrives, then do even more good. And so too, make it the same with the weeks, months, years, and decades of your life. Verse 13. Be not disturbed by the future. You will meet it, if you have to, with the same weapons of wisdom, virtue, and hope that today arm you against the present. Verse 14. Past and future are both absent. Do not torture yourself about what may be or what has passed. Save your strength, so you are ready when actual suffering comes to you in the present. Verse 15. Some things torment you more than they ought, some torment you before they ought, and some torment you when they ought not torment you at all. Overcome your natural habit of exaggerating, or imagining, or anticipating sorrow. Do not fear before the crisis comes, it may be that the dangers that terrified you will never come upon you. Verse 16. You suffer needlessly when you let yourself suffer before or after it is necessary. It is likely that some troubles will befall you in the future, but it is not a present fact. How often has the unexpected happened? How often has the expected never come to pass? And even if something were ordained to be, what does it avail to run out to meet your suffering? You will suffer soon enough when it arrives. Even bad fortune is fickle. Perhaps it will come, perhaps not, in the meantime it does not. So look forward meanwhile to better things. Verse 17. How wretched and foolish is premature fear of your troubles, letting your soul be apprehensive of the future, consumed with an anxious desire that what you have may remain with you to the very end. In such a state, you will never be at rest, worriedly waiting for a bad future, losing the present blessings that you might enjoy. Verse 18. The fool is always getting ready to live. If you have spent your time always looking forward to tomorrow, then you have not yet lived, but have only been preparing to live, and though your life ends on the final day, it perishes a little more every day. Verse 19. Live in the present, not fearing the future, but do not for this reason be indifferent to the future. Turn aside from whatever may cause fear, foreseeing whatever can be foreseen by planning. Observe and avoid, long before it happens, anything that is likely to do you harm. In this, have a spirit of confidence and a mind strongly resolved to endure all things. He who can bear fate can also beware of fate. Verse 20. The seeds of what you anticipate are already here now, scattered across the earth. Bring a great future into the present by gathering what is wise and virtuous in the world, building on them, and creating out of them new expressions of wisdom and virtue. Verse 21. Remember the parable of the yeast. Verse 22. When you make bread, adding a little yeast at the beginning makes the dough grow into large loaves by the end. What you do now has the power to make the present grow into a great future. Section 9. Tradition. Verse 1. When you stand at the crossroads, look and find the ancient road. Then press forward on this straight and good way and find rest for your soul. Verse 2. Tradition is not the worship of ashes, but the preservation of fire. Verse 3. Appreciate and value the traditions of your forefathers, even though you may not initially recognize their purpose. Verse 4. Respect the traditions of your ancestors as voices echoing hard-earned wisdom out of the past to you. Verse 5. The limits of tradition are not prison walls confining your freedom. They are guardrails protecting you from tumbling off the edge of a precipice. Verse 6. Tradition preserves the solutions to problems no one remembers. If you abandon the solutions, the problems will become all too familiar again. Verse 7. Withdrawing from tradition, religion, and nation will not free you, but rather make you apt to falling prey to the desperation of meaninglessness. Verse 8. When we leave the solid ground of tradition, we walk out onto thin ice, where just below, deep freezing waters roil. Verse 9. If some tradition or practice that makes no sense to you has been around for a very long time, then seemingly irrational or not, it will likely last longer still, outliving you and those who call for its demise. Verse 10. If you took an orchestra playing a great symphony and separated the musicians and listened to each playing a single part by itself, the result would almost always be music that is mediocre or even disagreeable. Only when all is played together is the value of each individual part made manifest. So too is it with tradition and culture. Many individual parts may seem useless or disagreeable, but once united together, they become the grand and precious soul of the people. With music, only the most perceptive and brilliant of composers can discern the way to combine the individual strains into a great whole. With culture and tradition, it is even more difficult. Rare indeed is he who can discern the importance of the individual elements and how they combine into the great whole. Great damage can be done to the culture and consequently to the soul of the people, when only a few individuals have control of decisions or over the means of communication and thus have the power to warp and corrupt the natural traditions of the people. Verse 11. Conditions change. Culture and traditions are vulnerable to corruption. Our traditions are not perfect. Verse 12. Lasting progress usually comes by making small improvements on what came before. When faced with new questions or challenges, it is wise and prudent to respond with small, incremental changes, if any at all. If the need for radical change becomes unavoidable, woe to you, for such change almost never comes without much pain and trouble, with a great risk of leading you astray into difficult or evil paths. Verse 13. Truth lies open for all, it has not yet been monopolized. There is plenty of it left for us and our posterity to discover. The teachers of the past are not our masters, but our guides. We usually follow in their footsteps on the old road they have trod before. If we find a way along the path that appears shorter and smoother to travel, let us scout out miles far ahead to verify the soundness of the proposed change. And let us always beware that we do not short-sightedly fool ourselves into following what ends up being a dangerous or faulty path, when the safety of the old road was there all along. Verse 14. Take care that innovations to culture, values, and tradition follow the example of time itself, which usually innovates quietly, by degrees scarce to be perceived. Verse 15. Constant innovation is a sign of failure. Unending change is a manifestation of deeper pathology. A real pioneer works so that eventually he may safely settle down in comfort into a place that is his own. A true trailblazer makes a new path so that it might be trod over and over until it become an established thoroughfare. Foolish and wasteful indeed is the restless pioneer who never settles down, or the rash, aimless trailblazer who is ever walking yet never arrives at a final destination. Verse 16. It is much easier to burn something down than to build its replacement. Verse 17. A break from tradition is more likely to bring decline, ruin, or collapse than improvement. Verse 18. Why should you respect tradition? Why not instead derive your values and practices using the facts you know and your own faculties of reasoning and logic? Because you are fallible and ephemeral. Your abilities of reasoning and logic are not as good and objective as you think they are. Moreover, the most real aspects of existence often manifest themselves across the longest of time frames. They are not necessarily apprehensible in the here and now. Thus, even if your abilities were infallible, you could still never derive all the right values and practices just from the facts that portray themselves to you over your short life. Verse 19. Society is a joint endeavor toward seeking all wisdom, practicing all virtue, and laboring with hope toward divine perfection. Because the ends of such an endeavor cannot be obtained even after many generations, society is not a partnership just among those who are living. Rather, it is a three-way partnership between those who are dead, those who are living, and those who are yet to be born. Thus, the past of your forefathers is not something for you merely to study, it is something you actually inherit. You are not the final heir, however. Your ancestors left it for you on the condition that you sustain it and strengthen it and pass it on, revitalized, to future generations. And so this inheritance brings with it not only the rights of ownership, but also the duties of trusteeship. These things struggled for, fought for, and died for should not be idly squandered. For they are also the property of others who are not yet born. Those who do not respect and follow this principle have no place in community decision-making. Those who would tear down the memory, history, or heritage of a society or community have no place within it and should leave. Verse 20. Each person is usually most conservative about what he knows best. Verse 21. How foolhardy it is to radically restructure the stabilizing traditions of our society just to solve a so-called problem that a small minority claimed to face. Why would any but the most foolish pretend to solve an individual's private disturbance through a social revolution, causing far more turmoil and trouble? Verse 22. Disregard and shun those who constantly push for many changes or who promise paradise through some great abrupt shift, and especially those who are never satisfied with what ground has been ceded to them and are never willing to grant concessions to others. To such as these, you must never cede anything. If you let them have their way, they will destroy the foundations of your society, tearing up good and wise traditions that have proved themselves firm and steady against the tremors and upheavals of hard experience, replacing them with empty holes containing only the idle fancies of daydreamers. Verse 23. Remember the parables of the owl and the other birds, the pelican and the fisherman, and the cathedral builders. Verse 24. Live in wisdom and virtue, following the weight of tradition and the accumulated understanding of the past, but do not mistake honoring tradition for following the depraved whims of the masses. There are things that, if done by the few, we would refuse to imitate, yet when the majority have begun to do them, we follow along, just as if anything were more honorable because it is more frequent. It is easy for evil ideas and practices, when they have become prevalent, to reach the standard of righteousness in the eyes of many. Never let them do that to you. Verse 25. When you let outsiders into your communities and institutions, there is great risk they will not feel comfortable, and that if they gain power, they will work to eliminate and abolish everything distinctive and sacred you have, because these things make them feel like the outsiders they are. Verse 26. If you are a stranger, act like one until you are no longer a stranger. Section 10. Progress toward paradise. Verse 1. Is paradise up above? Then it is for the birds. Is it in an unknown future? Then we will probably never see it. Paradise cannot and will not be given to us. It will come only when we build it. Verse 2. They change their skies but not their souls, those who run across the sea. Verse 3. To whatever new shining utopia you try to create, you will bring the same old problems you are trying to escape, until you conquer them where you remain. Verse 4. Remember the parable of the two pilgrims. Verse 5. It matters little whether you lay a sick man on a wooden or on a golden bed, for wherever he be moved, he will carry his ailment with him. Verse 6. The person you are and the people you live among matter more than the place to which you go. Work to conquer your personal faults and seek to live among those doing the same. Verse 7. Someone truly motivated by a desire to make things better is less concerned with changing other people as he is with changing himself. If he does believe that there is some change others must make, he will have already taken responsibility and made that change first in himself and his own household before speaking up about it. Verse 8. The more that you sort yourself out, the more responsibility you will be able to take for those around you, and the more problems you will be able to solve. Verse 9. Paradise will come gradually, as we slowly improve what came before and little by little conquer our problems. Go and labor with all your strength to build paradise, live in truth with faith in God, seek wisdom, practice virtue, labor with hope, and teach and nurture your children to do the same. When everyone around you does likewise, then you will have together remade your surroundings into the promised land, no matter what the place was before you started there. Verse 10. Your ancestors and many others sacrificed tremendously for what you have inherited. Some literally sacrificed their very lives. Year after year, they created a little more than they consumed and destroyed in terms of things physical, artistic, intellectual, and spiritual. That growth, compounded over centuries and millennia, is the civilization you enjoy today. Respect what they did. Be grateful for it. And build and save and sacrifice the same as your ancestors did, to pass on the inheritance of our civilization, improved, to your descendants. Verse 11. Worthy goals are often partially or wholly incompatible. Charting the right course is often an exercise in making trade-offs between competing objectives. Verse 12. Improvements usually come slowly, but the way to ruin is rapid. Verse 13. Not all change is progress. There is no law that requires that things must always improve. Verse 14. Even if you compare the best communities to a hypothetical utopian ideal, they will fall short. Radical change to such communities will usually make them worse. Verse 15. Though you drive nature out with a pitchfork, ever she will return. If you carve out a track that she may follow, and then invite her onto it, then you might direct her in more useful ways. Verse 16. In your quest for progress, never forget that human nature not only has much that is ennobling and beautiful, but also much that is devious and evil. Be vigilant against evil. Build safeguards into every institution and endeavor. Verse 17. Pursue harmony. Harmony makes small things grow, lack of harmony makes great things decay. Verse 18. Things fall apart. They naturally deteriorate, and our blindness, inaction, and deceit further add to the degeneration. You must therefore always pay attention and be maintaining, improving, and building. Verse 19. We exist for the sake of each other, that we may mutually help each other. Teach others and bear with them, but do not let the selfish exploit your goodness. When the selfish live among the virtuous, they will prey on them and take everything they can. Seek, therefore, the company of the virtuous. When only the virtuous dwell together, they will live in paradise because they will create it together. Verse 20. Evil always tries to infiltrate the paradises created by the virtuous. What starts out being sincere can end up being deceitful. What was simple in the beginning can acquire monstrous proportions in the end. Therefore, keep ambitious, aspiring, self-important, self-aggrandizing, prideful, hypocritical, or evil people from entering your community, and always keep them out of power. Keep institutions transparent and simple, and follow the triple path always. Verse 21. Greatly distrust anyone who seeks to improve the world by forcing other people to change. Verse 22. Beware of newcomers who show up and quickly volunteering to help and take over tasks. Only give responsibility to those who have proved themselves over time to be trustworthy. Verse 23. A talented yet evil man is an instrument of destruction, and should be shunned and avoided as a plague. Verse 24. Never give great responsibility to those with few or no children, nor give them charge of anything of consequence. They have little stake in the future of the community, and there is great risk they will lead it to decline or ruin. Verse 25. Success breeds complacency, making it easy to forget to pay attention. Do not turn a blind eye and take for granted what you have. Notice when things start deteriorating and corruption is taking root, lest everything fall apart. Verse 26. Look ahead. Anticipate difficult things while they are easy, and do things that would become great while they are small. Many difficult things would have been easy to solve at the start. Great things often arise from small and simple beginnings. Verse 27. When there is a dragon to fight, it is best to confront it in its lair, well before it has come out to attack your village. Verse 28. When everyone seeks wisdom, practices virtue, and labors with hope, they will be of one heart and mind, they will live in goodness and harmony. Verse 29. Any great endeavor must be based in wisdom, strength, virtue, and beauty. Wisdom to contrive it, strength to support it, virtue to sustain it, and beauty to adorn it. Section 11. Government and Society. Verse 1. The seeds of wisdom, virtue, and hope that lie dormant in each human soul grow and germinate best in a well-ordered and disciplined society that honors and practices good and wise traditions that have proved themselves over long courses of time. Verse 2. The only legitimate government is that which governs every person by the same laws, standards, and principles, in which the freedom of the governed is respected above all else, with equal rights and freedom of speech for all. Verse 3. Governments exist for the benefit of individuals, and to promote the good and safety of society. No government is legitimate that limits, beyond extreme minimums needed to protect other citizens' free exercise of the same, its citizens' freedom of thought, free exercise of conscience, freedom of speech and association, right to own and control property, right to self-defense, and right to self-determination. No government is legitimate unless it requires of all citizens equally the obligation to account for their actions, to respect the autonomy of others, and to build up the community and promote its welfare. Government should combat criminality, but never control conscience, punish guilt, but never suppress the freedom of the soul, secure citizens' right to support themselves, but never insulate them from the natural consequences of their actions. To accomplish this, governments should impose the minimum necessary rules, enforced with the minimum necessary force. Verse 4. It is the place of the politician, the official, the judge, the civil servant, the officer, the soldier, and all else employed by the state to bear in mind that he represents the state and its citizens, that it is his duty to uphold their honor and dignity, to enforce the law, to protect and preserve the citizens' constitutional rights, and to remember that all this has been committed to him as a sacred trust. The private individual ought first in private relations to live on fair and equal terms with his fellow citizens, with a spirit neither servile and groveling nor yet domineering, and second in matters pertaining to the state, to labor for her peace and honor, for such a one we are accustomed to esteem and call a good citizen. As for the foreigner or the resident alien, it is his duty to attend strictly to his own concerns, not to pry into other people's business, and under no condition to meddle in the politics of a country not his own. Verse 5. Always be contributing something to the common good. Verse 6. Do not allow absorption in your private affairs to diminish your knowledge of your community's, nation's, and country's business, or diminish your involvement in settling public issues. One who keeps aloof from public life is useless. Verse 7. The more corrupt the state, the more numerous the laws. Verse 8. A just society should reward productive, pro-social behavior. It should punish theft and exploitation. It should ensure, as much as practically possible, equality of opportunity, but never equality of outcome. Verse 9. Rights cannot exist without responsibilities, nor liberty without duty, nor freedom without obligation. Indeed, rights and liberty and freedom exist so that you can discharge your responsibilities and duties and obligations. Verse 10. Tyranny expands to fill the space made available for it. Fight every sign of it. Never consent to tyranny. Make your refusal clear and explicit, and unyieldingly hold to it. Verse 11. An excess of chaos often brings on tyranny. Tyrannies often collapse, bringing on an excess of chaos. Reject both chaos and tyranny. Live instead in responsible freedom. Verse 12. Collectively pursuing a goal or ideal produces a hierarchy, since some will do better at achieving it than others. You must pursue worthy goals, however, to live with meaning. Seeking to achieve equality of outcomes will thus eliminate meaning from life. This does not mean, however, that all hierarchies are justifiable or that all outcomes are just. Fortunately, in an advanced society, there are many worthy goals to pursue and thus many different valid hierarchies in which to participate. Verse 13. When a hierarchy is based on power instead of relevant competence, then it is prone to collapse. Verse 14. Every healthy society and community is supported by the learning of the wise, the justice of the august, the prayers of the pious, the valor of the brave, the innovation of the creatives, and the vision of the mystics. Verse 15. A society that separates its scholars from its men of action will have its thinking done by cowards, and its action done by fools. Verse 16. A common faith is a necessity for a society to have internal peace and decent government. Verse 17. Do not confuse the proper domains of religion and of government or commerce. Religion is too often made a means instead of an end, and government and commerce are too often made ends instead of means. A state or an enterprise that holds itself up as the source of morals or meaning is a false idol, and when it topples, it will wreak destruction and suffering. Verse 18. That we might more easily love our country should be made lovely. Verse 19. A state more easily flourishes when wealth is more equally spread. Verse 20. In a harmonious, well-functioning society, neither the authorities nor regular individuals are gossips or zealots. They care little about discovering the details of others' lives or about penalizing others for their minute infractions. But also in a harmonious, well-functioning society, the standards of behavior are good and reasonable and not oppressive. In response, good people want to follow them and try to live above reproach, so they care little about what others may find out about them. Verse 21. Let not your object in life be to stay always on the side of the majority, but instead to always firmly root yourself in the ranks of the wise, the virtuous, and those who labor with hope. Verse 22. Do you want to live in a well-ordered and pleasant society? Then live among those capable of, and actively trying to, seek wisdom, practice virtue, and labor with hope. When they know correct principles, they govern themselves. Verse 23. In a healthy republic, popular sovereignty must be supplemented by wise and virtuous public spirit. The less wisdom a people has in perceiving what is good, and the less virtue it has in doing it of its own accord, the less it is suited to a republic. Verse 24. Many hands make light work, and numerous wallets make endeavors affordable. Verse 25. These are the patterns for successful self-government in any group. First, the group's boundaries are clearly defined, including boundaries about geography, resources, responsibilities, mission, and membership. Second, group rules are matched to local needs and conditions. Third, those affected by the rules participate in creating and modifying them. Fourth, outside authorities respect the rights of group members to make their rules. Fifth, group members create and carry out a system for monitoring group members' behavior and compliance with the rules. Those who monitor are group members who are accountable to the rest of the group. Sixth, the group impartially imposes graduated, proportional sanctions for rule violations. Seventh, the group provides accessible and cheap ways to resolve disputes. Eighth, responsibility for governing is built in nested tiers from the lowest level up to the entire interconnected system. Ninth, group members effectively communicate with one another. All group members are free to express their opinions without reproof or punishment. 10th, there is a sense of internal trust within the group. All group members respect norms of reciprocity. Section 12. Banishing hypocrisy. Verse 1. How can one in authority claim to lay down rules for others when he has not learned to obey those rules himself? Verse 2. That which is not good for the swarm, neither is it good for the bee. What is not permitted to others is also not permitted to you. Do not be a hypocrite who tries to justify actions for yourself that you would condemn if taken by others. Verse 3. That which is not permitted to the individual is also not permitted to the group, the institution, the corporation, the government, or the church. When an individual commits an act of greed or cruelty or murder, we condemn it. How can we condemn these individual acts, but praise the murders and horrors of unjust wars, or profit from the greed of dishonest corporations? Verse 4. Do not be a parasite who seeks to benefit yourself or your family at the community's expense. Verse 5. Hypocrisy destroys the fabric of a community. A harmonious society thrives on trust, honesty, and fairness. Hypocrisy destroys all of these. For this reason, virtuous communities punish unrepentant hypocrites, casting them out and declaring forfeit their ill-gotten gains. Verse 6. Do not draw close to God with your lips while your heart is far from Him, and beware of all those who so do. Verse 7. Do not be a hypocrite, exploiting others by falsely making it appear you are trustworthy, honest, and just. Instead, be trustworthy, honest, and just, with no deception. When hypocrites are in control, the evil prosper and the virtuous suffer. Hypocrites' double standards corrode a community, making everyone less inclined to practice virtue and be honest, causing neighbors to lose trust in each other, and making fairness and justice disappear. Section 13. Trust in others. Verse 1. Put complete trust only in God. Verse 2. Seek to emulate those whose good examples inspire you to improve, but never let such prudent observation and emulation turn into worship and idolization. Do not become enamored with the limited caricature of goodness you observe in someone else. Evil lurks in all men's hearts. Everyone fails. Never trust so much in a role model that discovering his weaknesses would destroy your hope or overcome your resolve to follow the triple path. Verse 3. Do not let others' failures to live up to perfection hurt your own pursuit of it. Learn to do better by improving upon their examples. Let everyone you meet be a model of good to emulate and evil to avoid. Section 14. Tragedy and suffering. Verse 1. Great are the troubles even of the righteous. Verse 2. Tragedy and suffering come to all, to both the righteous and the evil. Some is unavoidable, caused by the evil and foolishness of others or the randomness of life, and some is the avoidable result of your own foolish choices. Learn these three lessons from suffering, death, and disasters. First, you do not know when you will die or when tragedy will befall you. Now is the time to live with wisdom, virtue, and hope. If you wait to follow the triple path, you may start too late and leave behind a life of foolishness, disagreeable deeds, and evil acts. When tragedy comes, you may be unprepared to face it and thus suffer more greatly as a result. Second, you cannot predict the future. Prepare wisely as best you can for possible tragedy, so that you are well placed to overcome whatever happens. Third, when tragedy strikes others, try to help them overcome. But since you must choose where to direct your limited resources, the prepared and prudent to whom befall unexpected tragedy are more deserving of your help than the unprepared and foolish. Verse 3. No time or place is exempt from the vicissitudes of life. Surrounded by contentment, causes of suffering spring up. War arises in the midst of peace, and that which we depended upon for protection is transformed into a cause of fear. Friends and allies become enemies. The summer calm is stirred into sudden storms, wilder than the blizzards of winter. The most temperate are assailed by illness, the strongest by wasting disease, the most innocent by chastisement, the most secluded by the noisy mob. Verse 4. Do you wish for a long life? And then does misfortune befall you, and you complain. A long life includes all these troubles, just as a long journey includes dust and rain and delays. Verse 5. Never cease to follow and marvel at the natural course of this most beautiful universe, into which all your sufferings and triumphs are woven. In the midst of tribulation, never forget that existence consists of opposites. Day follows night, the calm comes after the storm. And during good times, also remember this, and prepare for troubled times ahead. You will approach courageously a danger you have already prepared yourself to meet. If you are unprepared, you will be panic-stricken even at the most trifling things. Verse 6. If you see dark clouds brewing and feel the wind blowing, yet do nothing to prepare for a storm, you have no cause to complain after it has flattened you. Verse 7. In good times, toughen yourself for occasions of greater stress. In times of peace, prepare yourself against violence. If you would be one who does not flinch when the crisis comes, then train yourself before it comes. Verse 8. When each of life's hardships comes, say to yourself, "For this have I been preparing and training. For this have I been seeking wisdom, practicing virtue, and laboring with hope." Verse 9. When misfortune befalls you, do not curse your luck, receiving the results of chance with dejection. Accept your situation as if it were assigned to be your duty, then work to make the best of the situation and come out on top, saying, "Whatever this may be, it is my lot, it is rough and it is hard, but I must work diligently at the task of succeeding." Verse 10. When misfortune befalls you, prayerfully ask what you may have done to contribute to its coming. Then ask how you can stop making those same mistakes. Finally, ask how you can repair the damage you caused by your past failures. Verse 11. The unexpected calamity creates the heaviest load, the surprise brings greater pain. Learn to better discern what may come, and prepare to confront it. Verse 12. Stand tall under any load. You were born to carry burdens. Verse 13. You cannot escape all hardships, but you can overcome many of them and endure the rest to the end. By force of will, a way is made. Verse 14. An unconquerable burden that you endure with stubborn defiance begins to feel lighter. Verse 15. Be more displeased with foolishness, evil, and lazy despair than you are with affliction and suffering. Verse 16. Root out your fear of future suffering and the recollection of past suffering. How can that which has not yet come to pass concern you? And what benefit is there in reviewing past sufferings, and in being unhappy just because once you were unhappy? Even when set in the very midst of troubles, say to yourself, "Perhaps someday, the memory of this sorrow will even bring delight." Verse 17. Often you must suffer into truth and wisdom, for you refuse to seek them when you are amid ease and comfort. Verse 18. When the sorrows of death compass you and the pains of hell grasp at you, call on the name of God. Verse 19. You brought nothing into this world, and how can you carry anything out? God gives and He takes away. Blessed be the name of God. Verse 20. Remember the parable of the ring of truth. Section 15. Death and immortality. Verse 1. Accept old age. Verse 2. Death comes to everyone, to the wise and foolish, to the virtuous and evil, to the hopeful and lazy despairing alike. Followers of the triple path, though, leave the world better than they found it, just as their forebears, whether spiritual or physical, did for them. Verse 3. The living know they will die. What do the dead know? They have no more earthly reward, and even the memory of them will eventually be forgotten. Whatever good you can do while you are alive, do it well, and with courage and enthusiasm. What more earthly works or thoughts can you accomplish in the grave to which you are headed? Verse 4. Be not as the foolish and evil who care not about how wisely or virtuously they lived, but only about how long. It is within the reach of every person to live wisely and virtuously, but within no one's power to assure long life. Verse 5. Life is short. You make it shorter still by your unsteadiness and focus on what is less important, breaking it up into little bits and frittering it away. How much faster and focused would you be if you knew that an enemy were at your back, pressing hard upon your steps as you fled? And yet, an enemy is indeed pressing upon you. Round out your life and accomplish its mission before death comes. Verse 6. Strive while you are yet alive so that the potential of your youth be transformed evermore into the accomplishments of your maturity. Verse 7. Do you desire immortality in this earthly realm? What remains here after your death? At least there are these, your descendants, your writings, what you have built, the ruins of what you destroyed, the effects of your acts, whether wise and virtuous or foolish and evil, and your bones, until they turn to dust. Verse 8. While you yet dwell in the country of the living, give hearty thanks to God for the good examples of all those His servants, who, having finished their course in faith, do now rest from their labors. Seek to live a life such that your soul may depart this mortal coil to join with all those who are departed in the true faith of God's holy name, that you may also be received unto Him in His eternal and everlasting glory. Verse 9. Live so that through God's grace your soul be not delivered into the eternal death, but that you might obtain His mercy and everlasting peace, being received unto Him in the fellowship of all His departed servants, in eternal rest with His perpetual light shining upon you, that your soul might rest in peace in Him. Verse 10. When you sorrow at a mortal parting, or dread or fear your own death, remember that some who were at the brink of death have returned to the realm of the living. They tell us that this life is not the end, but that we continue on, and that at the final moment of life, already departed loved ones are there to greet and receive the person who is passing on. They also tell us that this life is a type of school for our souls, and that our great purpose while alive is to learn and grow and progress more toward having a likeness in our own soul of God's eternal and infinite love and of His divine wisdom, virtue, and hope. And our purpose also is to help others likewise learn and grow and progress. Verse 11. Remember the parable of the empty tomb.